Yesterday, we were joined by Marshalltown Community College Athletic Director and head men's basketball coach Ryan Flack, and he gave a bit of an insight into the esports program out at MCC and how it compares to the competition of other traditional sports.
You know, at the end of the day, it's still competition. And so I think whether you're doing that in more of maybe an athletic sense of, you know, when you think of physicality, you know, running, jumping, whatever have you that way, it's all, I mean, or you're playing a video game. I mean, it's competitive either way, and you want to win, and you want to, you know, be the best version of yourself you can be.
Flack went on to mention that even their esports athletes hit the weight room.
One thing I will share, too, you know, we often practice in the mornings here, our basketball team, and I'm going to be honest with you, when we're down on the floor practicing, Coach Goforth and Coach Rodemeyer, I mean, they have their kids up in the weight room. They're on the track running.
Flack emphasized the importance of keeping a healthy body and healthy mind in all facets of competition in order to get the best results. Keep an eye on all your MCC athletics online at mccathletics.com. This Marshalltown city budget is an ever-changing and ever-evolving process, and yesterday we had City Councilman Jeff Schneider on to discuss. He says they've had a bit of a break from pure budget discussions, but that break can only go for so long.
We've had a little bit of break from, you know, fully budgetary meetings. I think we'll have a kind of a mixed bag of budget and other regular city business next Monday. The agenda will be out this afternoon.
In returning to the budget discussion, one of the things that most often comes up is property taxes.
We did find out the county miscalculated our property tax valuations, but I suppose in a good way. They did grow a little more than we were expecting. The one hitch is that due to the Iowa legislature last year changing the laws about how cities can collect property taxes through the combined general fund levy, because we crossed a threshold of 2.75%, we have to decrease the growth of our general fund levy dollars.
Schneider welcomes all to attend next week's upcoming meeting, as well as all other city council meetings held at the city chambers on the second floor of 10 West State Street on the second and fourth Monday every month. Iowans can expect much heavier than normal traffic on the state's roads Sunday as people dart to the grocery store to stock up on snacks or head for a tavern, restaurant, or friend's house to watch the big game. Iowa State Patrol Trooper Paul Gardner, based in Fort Dodge, says it may be Super Bowl Sunday, but it could be a far from super day for those who don't follow the rules.
Whether you're an Eagles fan or a Chiefs fan, we want to make sure that everyone is getting to the end zone safely. So if you are out partying it up this weekend, make sure you have a designated driver. That's going to be your most valuable player of the night. So make sure that if you're out consuming alcoholic beverages, whether you're at a get-together or at a bar or restaurant, make sure that you've got a plan in place to get home safely.
Gardner says dozens of additional law officers will be working Iowa's roads Sunday, trying to spot drivers who are a danger to themselves and to others.
We'll see an increase of traffic. We'll have extra troopers. I know other law enforcement agencies will also have other officers involved out there watching for impaired drivers. So we just want to make sure everyone has a game plan in place to get home safely.
Statistically, he says Sunday is a dangerous day for Iowa drivers.
OWI incidents are 22% higher on Super Bowl Sunday than any other Sunday of the year. And usually close to half of the fatalities involve a blood alcohol content in a driver of 0.08 or higher.
Gardner says there were 2 fatalities and 10 personal injury accidents in Iowa during last year's Super Bowl weekend. Coming up, the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission has granted a state license for a casino in Cedar Rapids, but there could be a legal challenge to it. It's 7:09.
You're on the Supershine Hotline.
I feel like my wife and I are drifting apart.
Oh, no. Take her to Supershine Car Wash. Think of our automatic bay as a sudsy tunnel of love. Or use the manual bays together. While you wash the vehicle, she selects the numerous wash options.
Okay, but every question you get, Supershine is the answer.
Hey, the couple that sprays together stays together. Next caller.
Take your car once a week to Supershine Car Wash. It's good for it. Marshall Town in Ames.
It's Kyle Martin in the mornings, brought to you by McCall Monument, a family business all about your family.
And welcome back on this finally Friday. We're at 17 above. Coming up, we're going to visit with David Hicks of YSS, and he has some impact information he wants to share with us. Just as he said, hot off the presses. Let's go back to the newsroom with David.
The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission has granted a state license for a casino in Cedar Rapids. The vote was 4-1. Cedar Rapids Mayor Tiffany O'Donnell says there will be a groundbreaking today for the Cedar Crossing project.
We'll be moving dirt tomorrow, wasting no time in getting this up and running. Linn County, Cedar Rapids deserves this. It's only taken us 12 years to get here.
The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission has twice before voted down casino license applications from Cedar Rapids, and just last week, the Iowa House overwhelmingly voted in favor of a moratorium on new casinos, but the bill was tabled in the Senate on Wednesday. Amy Burkhart, one of the yes votes on the commission, cited studies indicating the state would collect about $10 million more in gambling taxes once the Cedar Rapids casino opens, but gambling tax revenue will decline without it.
Looking at the state of Iowa, and I won't requote the numbers, but all I see is net gain. I see net gain in terms of tax revenues for our state.
Burkhart, who is from Burlington, says she was contacted by a number of people in southeast Iowa who shared their thoughts about a Cedar Rapids casino that would compete with the ones already operating in her area. However, there's a legal challenge to the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission's decision to grant a state license. Mark Weinhardt, an attorney for the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, says the commission lacked the authority to make that decision due to the wording in a recent gambling referendum that passed with 55% support.
We believe that the 2021 referendum simply asked Linn County voters the wrong question to support the issuance of a gaming license.
Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission Chairman Daryl Olson addressed the legal wrangling during Thursday's commission meeting.
After consulting with our legal counsel and representative from the AG, a majority of the commissioners are satisfied that we have the authority to move forward and make this decision.
Four of the five members of the commission then voted to grant a state casino license to Cedar Rapids. Weinhardt says lawsuit seeks a ruling that would nullify that decision.
We're also asking the courts to find, as we believe, that the cannibalization of other gaming properties by the proposed new casino is inconsistent with Iowa law.
Later this morning at 11 a.m., a groundbreaking is scheduled in Cedar Rapids for the Cedar Crossing project. Developers say they hope to open the new casino complex on New Year's Eve of 2026.